Blog Talk Radio.
Playing Sports City Chefs from Amazon Music.
Yeah.
Back, listen, enjoy the vibe. Sip something, light it up, enjoy the ride. Cause the Sports City Chefs is on the night. In the kitchen cooking up, they on the rise.
Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City Chefs,
Yes, Lord, we got a brand new president. Joe Biden, we riding, I pray you heaven sent. Word from the wise, my people stay ahead of
come on.
I've been relevant, trying to survive the elements. It ain't no love in these streets, these dudes telling it. Case go from cold to hot, state evidence. Kaboom, Sports City Chefs is in the room. Cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman verse MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again.
Sports City, Chef,
Chef,
Sports City,
Chef, 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 Chef,
yeah,
Cavs, Taj,
Yes, yes, it's the Caller's Cookout on the Sports City Chef Network. You could be anywhere in the world, but you're here with the villain with the mask covering the raw flesh. We call a number 929-477-2759. We're with you for the next 90-plus minutes as long as we can feed you food, get you on a full stomach on this Wednesday, a rainy Wednesday where I'm at. I don't know where you are in the world, but here it's rainy, getting the remnants of Hurricane Ida. Prayers to everyone down there in the New Orleans area, et cetera, et cetera. No, that game's going to actually week one game for the Saints actually being moved to Jacksonville or Florida somewhere because of the hurricane. So prayers to everybody down there. But as always, I got my nemesis, my arch nemesis, the superhero himself, the man they call Timeless, TP Timeless. What's up, brother?
Well, I done took off this blazer, loosened up the tie. Stepped aside, the kitchen Timeless is alive. I'm feeling some type of way. I'm back on the East Coast, getting my groove back, kind of like Stella. When I ain't in Jamaica, September is upon us, and everything is going to frenzy, man. I'm feeling some type of way, man. I'm glad to be back on the east side of things, and I'm getting ready to run down south to another wedding as a childhood friend of yours and a lifetime, everything of mine, George Dixon, is getting married this weekend, so I got to head down to Florida for a wedding again. So this has been three weddings in 3 months.
Nice.
It's running me around, man. But the show must go on.
Absolutely. When you see him, you tell him the villain said, what's up, man? Congratulations. I saw that his wedding was coming up pretty soon. So good dude. Probably the best baseball player I've ever played with, drafted by the Diamondbacks years ago. So if you don't know, now you know. But even better than that, he's just a good dude, good person, good energy. So congrats to him. But we got a lot of sports to get to, TP, man. A lot of stuff going on. I want to get these little appetizers out of the way, and then we could definitely get into the main course of the NFL. I want to save that to when we get more of the chefs in the building. So I just want to kind of get started. It was reported Ben Simmons is demanding a trade, TP. No longer wants to play with the Philadelphia 76ers. All of our suspicions have been confirmed. Going through the offseason, him not communicating with Joel Embiid, returning his calls or talking to anybody in the team. The Sixers quietly, actively looking for trade partners, getting offers from the Kings and the Timberwolves and all these other teams. It came out that Ben Simmons basically came out and said, I want a trade. I will not play for the Philadelphia 76ers. I will not report to camp when camp opens next month, September 28th, I believe it is. He will not be there. So he wants out, and I'm pretty sure Philly wants him out too. Or do they want to keep him? Who knows at this point? TP Timeless, I'd love to get your opinion on the Ben Simmons saga that keeps going on after his horrendous stint in the playoffs this past season. But now, you know, with all the drama with the coach, with Doc Rivers saying, hey, I don't know, I can't answer that question when asked if I can win with him at the point guard position. It's just ongoing saga. Now he wants out of town. TP, take it away.
This is interesting. I think he probably had this time off to, like, think to himself about how this goes down. And the crazy part about the situation is like, I don't know how to measure this. Like, he let them down this season. It's been seasons that they've been waiting on him. And to be honest, him and Embiid are the faces of the organization, and you're out because of your play. You have a new coach. You have something all beginning anew for you guys. This is the process. They're drafting as best as they can. They're trying to put trade pieces around you guys. They're putting shooter after shooter around you. And it was you that let them down. It was you that got passive. And everybody's wondering, well, what's going on? How does he turn the corner? It's you that's at, you know, 25, getting ready to go to the downside of the 20s before you enter the 30s, and the Eastern Conference is getting stronger around you. So it's, I hate to kind of say this to you because we're on the East Coast, but we're dealing with the rain right now. And Philly's dealing with the rain, and it's flooding around them. So it's like, what do they do with a guy like Ben Simmons that's good on the defensive side of the ball? Offense is what people are looking at him for because he's a distributor, he's a downhill guy, he could get to the rim and finish at the rim. Like, these are the pluses. But then all of the negatives or the cons against them have remained around him since college or before him getting to LSU. And you mean to tell me that every time that you go to work on your game or you play the sport of basketball, you go to a court and you pick up a ball. And then when you pick up the ball, you may dribble it one time, three times, or 10 times till you get to your sweet spot and you shoot. If you're not shooting the ball and this is the natural thing that you do in the sport, you're a detriment to the team. You are a part of the process and are leaving because you weren't doing your job in the process. So it had me, like, I feel a certain way. And this is me truthfully, like, burying him or trying to be there for the Sixers, even though I could care about either one of them, whether it's Philadelphia Sixers or Ben Simmons. Because to be honest, like, I feel like he could be a good player, but that he should be G League. Like, he could be a great G League player. For him to be an all-star, for him to make $30 million a year, that's unacceptable. And there's no way that people could talk me out of him trying to talk his way into what's happening. Like, there's no way. So you mean to tell me that there's going to be freaking, I don't know, like, guys that come out of college and look at him like he trash. Like he don't want to do nothing. Like, to picture kids younger than you coming to the league and having more gall to go out there and get it. Or, you know, just trying to use whatever superlative without burying him, which I really feel like burying him. There's no way for him to be timid at this point in time with a bank account that's been taking care of you, and they're actually trusting you in the process. Like, I don't get it, man. It is something about this Simmons kid I'm burnt and bent over. And if he want, well, he's saying that he's not coming, so I wonder where they go. But now me looking at the Philadelphia side of the situation, I'm not sending you to a California team. Like, you think we're going to send you to the Lakers and help you and LeBron and Anthony Davis and Russ and Carmelo? Like, you really think that's what we're going to do? Or we're going to send you to the Clippers and send you with Kawhi, Paul George, and all them? You think that's what we're going to do? Or you think we're going to send you to the Warriors? Like, if this was me, if I'm the GM, so you could help Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond? No, you're not getting none of that. I'm sending you to Memphis. I'm sending you to Orlando. I'm sending you to into a team that's trying to find their way now. And they said Minnesota might be somewhere. Like, yeah, you're getting one of those teams. You're not getting what you think you're wanting. Plus, I'm going to want something back. I'm watching 30 leave for you, for us to get, what, pennies back? Yeah, whatever. You better either get it together, sit the bench until you're good and ready to leave, or you're going somewhere that you're not going to like, and we're going to get money considerations and draft picks and a good player. Like, I'm not giving you up for a player, you know?
I mean, I just don't see how he has any kind of stroke right now to make any kind of demands on where he wants to go. If you want to get traded, I agree with you, fine. But you want to go to California? You know, I hope you like Sacramento. I've driven through Sacramento, TP. I've driven my car through there. And it's like I was never there. So it's like flatland, you know, you don't even realize you're there. I mean, to be honest with you, that's where I would trade him. I feel like, listen, they both kind of at the point, both sides have damaged this relationship beyond repair. I think, you know, when like I said, when asked, the GM and Doc Rivers asked, you know, can you win with this guy? And they didn't give an answer. That was disrespect. I mean, he was still on your team. You're still trying to win a series against a good Hawks team to get to the finals, which they easily could have done. And, you know, they possibly could have won a chip. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, at that point, you got to say the right things in the media, damn what you really think and how, you know, how it makes you look or whatever. But then Ben Simmons, to be a big baby at this point, not answer anybody's calls, not take the high road, and what everybody said is starting to come true. He's pampered, he's a prima donna, and he doesn't put in work. He doesn't put in that work. Because if he did, he wouldn't be afraid to shoot a layup or shoot a jump shot. You know what I'm saying? It's like they both kind of at this point have broken this relationship beyond repair. They have to move on. The Sixers need to get off their high horse. If they think they're getting three number ones and the world for this guy, no, you're getting pennies on the dollar. I know that straight-up trade with Harden for Simmons is looking pretty darn good right about now. That's basically maybe the best offer you're going to get on the market. I don't see how anybody would come, unless there's a bidding war. I don't see how anybody really gives the Sixers what they're looking for to get rid of a guy that had a disastrous playoff. So, but we got callers in QTP. I want to bring them in and get their opinion on this situation. And I want to put out there too, Joel Embiid tweeted today, you know, there's no problem, basically said, stop using my name to push agendas. You know, I love playing with Ben. Stats don't lie. He's an amazing player, and we didn't get the job done, blah, blah, blah. So he's saying the right things in public. That's one guy that's saying the right things. Maybe he doesn't feel that way, but he's saying the right things. So, I mean, I wish, you know, cooler heads would prevail, but it looks like this relationship is bent beyond repair. So calling in from the 703. He's not a half hour late. He's only 12 minutes late, so I'll give him credit for that. We're calling out of the 703. We got Sirius Aaron Simmons in the building. Aaron, Sirius, what's up, brother?
What's going on, gentlemen? How are we doing, man? And I'm going to go ahead and pick up right where you guys left off. This situation with Ben Simmons does not come as a shock. As a matter of fact, it's really in line with what we have seen over the past couple of years for stars, you know, kind of calling their shot. You know what I'm saying? We saw it last offseason with James Harden, and you know, we saw it a season ago from a couple of others. And, you know, so Ben Simmons has this inflated ego about how good he is and what value he brings to a franchise. He's going to follow the playbook. Now, granted, he's sadly mistaken, but this shouldn't come as a shock to anybody because he honestly feels as though his value is up there with the likes of a James Harden, with the likes of a couple other superstars who were able to literally call their shot Babe Ruth style and land where they ultimately want to land. At the end of the day, villain, you know, TP, I heard you know, when I came in, you know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, I'm not too sure where he goes. You know, maybe Cleveland, you know, you want to send them to a place where, you know, to die, so to speak, a graveyard or have you will. Orlando's on the come up. I don't see him going to Orlando. You know, Chicago don't want nothing to do with them. They got guards for days. I mean, if you start to break down, you know, these teams and, you know, where could he potentially become a fit? I think he played himself. I think he's Dennis Schroeder himself, so to speak, and he's going to have to go, you know, where he, you know, where the Sixers has to send him, and he might not be a starter. He might have to come off the bench, you know, because at the end of the day, I don't think that this guy's game, you know, is going to transcend talent. I don't think this guy's game is going to demand that he can walk into a situation and demand again, Dennis Schroeder, that he's the starter or demand that he gets paid X amount of dollars because we've all seen him fold up like lawn chairs. You know, I commend Joel Embiid for saying, quote-unquote, the right thing. I commend him for trying to go to bat for this guy and trying to help someone salvage a friendship or salvage a relationship. But the writing was on the wall, you know. Doc Rivers and, you know, Daryl Morey didn't really back this guy. And now he's releasing videos and, you know, his off-season workouts where he's shooting jumpers and shooting stuff off of 1 foot and going to the cup. And he looks like he's been in the gym on some P90X shit. You know what I'm saying? His physique is decent and, you know, all this sort of stuff. We ain't buying this because it's the same type of stuff we see every off-season. We see this. We've been there, done that. We rewound it and joked about it so many times. I mean, we're numb to it. You know, at the end of the day, man, Ben Simmons played himself, and, you know, I don't know where he ends up. I don't know where he ends up, man.
I mean, no, neither do I. I'm thinking in a perfect world he goes to Portland. But, I mean, I don't know if they're going to budge. I don't know if, you know, really Lillard is adamant to be traded and wants to go to Philly. Who knows? But if he has any delusions to say that he – what's that?
I'm not trying to say this to be funny, but OKC got a bazillion picks.
That's it. Only to absorb cap space is what he would,
right.
You know, they would trade him there. I don't know why they wouldn't trade him to OKC because there's no return for him that is feasible.
To be crazy about that situation, like I've been addressed that situation before. If I wanted to see him at OKC, and it's like his defensive purposes would help a ton, especially if we did get him, because it'll help us try to deal with LeBron. Like, we don't have anybody to try to defend him. You know what I'm saying? But, like, on the offensive side of the ball, it's like, it's a tough scenario where Shea can be cooking and is going to need to kick to you and you're not going to want to shoot. It's like, damn, like, and both of y'all 125. So if it worked, you, him, and Dort, y'all could be a three-headed monster. But his scaredness is a bothersome situation, but he could set up Shea kind of like how him and Chris Paul worked and they got to the postseason. So if they wanted to do it, they would have to do that now and try to get him to have a chip on his shoulder, if you will. If he went to OKC, like, I'm leery about it. Like, I couldn't say I wouldn't want it because we need a small forward. But it just bothers me that he's scared to dunk on Trae Young. Like that's horrible. Like so you lucky God ain't make me above 6'8". Like every time if I'm 6'8", every time I see the lane, like we going upstairs. Like I don't care what's happening. 10th floor jump off. Like every time they're gonna be like, yo, this dude won't stop trying to dunk on us. Like I'm not playing. I'm not. He's 6'11". Like and he got hops. It ain't like he can't leave Earth. Like I'm gone. Like every time down the court. Like what they gonna be like? Yo, he's coming. Like period. I'm heck no. Like. So I'm leery about it. If they went after Ben Simmons and knowing Presti's silly tail, he'll work a pick out of them with him somehow, some way. But even still, like if they wanted to give him 4 picks for him, like it'd be something I have to like learn to like. But I'm leery about it.
I don't see it happening, TP. I just if anything, if I'm Philly and if I'm trading Simmons to OKC, you're giving me Shea. And you're giving me, like, picks. And I need a third team to get involved to get a superstar.
No, you're not getting that. But no.
Exactly. It's not going to work. Because Philly needs a player on an all-star caliber level that can play with Joel Embiid to compete in the East. They can't – picks are not going to help them get past the Bucks and the Nets next year. You know what I'm saying? Like, they need a player that's going to – like. That's why I think, honestly, people think I'm being funny. Yeah, but that's what I mean. Like, people think I'm being funny, but I would trade them to Sacramento. You give me De'Aaron Fox and Buddy Hield to go with Joel Embiid and Tobias Harris. I'll sign up for that. De'Aaron Fox and Embiid on a pick and roll, that's pretty dangerous. That's the kind of haul you need to get back. You need to get players that can make an impact and compete right now, not players down the line in 3-4 years. That's just not, especially when you sign Embiid to a big contract. You can't. That's just not gonna. That's not how it's gonna work. But I gotta bring a call in. Then we can chop it up a little bit more. Hold on 1 second, Aaron. I'm gonna get right to you, brother. I want to get this guy in from the 215. New caller to the show, but friends of the program, Frankie calling in. Frankie, how you feeling?
I'm feeling real good right now. You know what? I got to go right into it, all right? First of all, live from Philadelphia. Loving the content right off the bat, brothers. How we doing, guys?
Oh, good. I mean, it's too bad you're in Philadelphia. Giants fan all day. But, you know, listen, nobody's perfect.
We all can't be winners, all right? So with that being said, I love you. You took the words right out of my mouth, okay? You can't trade Ben Simmons. I mean, first of all, you can trade Ben Simmons, and you're going to have to. But you can't trade Ben Simmons for picks. You cannot develop a player right now to go up with the guys that are already starting. Listen, Embiid's got a couple more years. You still have Tobias. But you can't trade players that you're going to draft and develop these guys in time to compete for a championship. It's just not going to happen, to be honest with you. So, you know, we have a local podcast here in Philadelphia, Talking 215. I'm a co-host on that show. Now, we talked about a little bit about some of the trades that could have happened. Me personally, and people kind of went a little nuts about it when we talked about it. I would have taken Ben Simmons for Russell Westbrook straight up, okay? That's a hot take for you. I would have taken that move if that was offered twice. Now, with that being said, that obviously isn't the case. But I love your DeAndre Fox. I'm Buddy Hield. I would have loved those two. You made a perfect sense. And actually, I think it's a solid move. But with that being said, I'm going to throw some numbers at you guys, all right? 11 points, 8 assists, and 7 rebounds in 12 games in the playoffs. That is not max money. His defense is not good enough to cover those awful offensive stats. 6'11", okay? This guy is 6'11". He can go to the hole like the best of them. Do that every time. 13 points is not good enough to average, okay? I want 18 out of him, and we're not trying to ship Ben Simmons out of here. I'll send him to the Giants at this point. I'll take Daniel Jones as my main guy at the top, all right?
It always turns to Daniel Jones. Every conversation we have on this show always turns to Daniel Jones. I can't stand it.
Why don't
we
say Saquon? I know why I get him. We are.
Let me say this about the whole Ben Simmons thing. So I understand what both you gentlemen are saying, but here's where you're missing it. He ain't worth a player. Like, if I'm Daryl Morey, okay, and Doc Rivers, okay, I'm going to go to Sacramento and be like, Sacramento, yo, I'm going to give you Ben Simmons. I want Buddy De'Aaron Fox. They're going to laugh at you because, like my man just said, the return – on investment it doesn't match up. You know what I'm saying? So you get a lesser player. You know what I'm saying? You get a lesser player by acquiring Ben Simmons than anybody else. So who in their right mind would want to give up all-star player for a wannabe all-star player? Because you're getting a lesser guy, so that's why I said you're gonna have to get some picks out of there. Now I understand, you know what I'm saying? This is a built to win now. Embiid is trying to capitalize on his youth. He's ready to win now. Now I get that, but they done effed this situation up so badly in Philadelphia that you may have to take a year or something to kind of figure out what you're gonna do, or maybe you can turn those picks into other players or some shit. But some shit. But ultimately, Ben Simmons isn't worth the gas in my car that I'm driving right now. He's not worth that. So if I'm a GM, why would you give up an all-star caliber player like a Buddy Hield or De'Aaron Fox or a Colin Sexton or C.J. McCullough or name that player? Why would you give that up to get somebody who's not going to return on investment? Just to change scenery? You're trying
but
to win ballgames.
The thing is, though, Sirius, that's the only option, to your point, that you're kind of alluding to, that the Sixers have. Either trade for a disgruntled player, Lillard, or you trade for guys that you have that just haven't reached their potential in Buddy Hield, and maybe you have to give up Fox to get Ben Simmons and unlock that talent. Like, I agree with you. He's not worth the paper the contract he signed. You're not going to get the haul that the Sixers are asking for. They've been asking for, like, picks of me on picks and players. That ain't happening. Like, especially at this point.
Yeah, no way.
The value is way down. But now you're talking about, okay, maybe I go to Minnesota and maybe I give up Cat. you know, maybe he doesn't want to be in Minnesota anymore. Maybe that's the situation. But it's like, didn't it be like, well, does Ben Simmons want to go to Minnesota? Like, who cares? Who cares where you want to go? Like, it's disgruntled players or players that you haven't unlocked the talent and it's time to move on from. That's the only packages I think that are available.
Great point. I mean, it's a great point, but the fact of the matter is that he has to be moved. I mean, listen, being here in Philadelphia, I've watched a lot of Ben Simmons. I even watched him when he was in LSU. And the fact of the matter is, there is still some upside with Ben Simmons. Now, I think that he could be a much better player than what he is. I really do. I believe that. I believe Ben Simmons can be a top-tier player. To be honest with you, if he played to his potential and he's putting in 18-22, superb defense, putting up those double-double numbers, averaging numbers every game, he could play to a high-caliber level, close to a LeBron James, to be honest with you. If he plays that superb defense and he puts the bucket, gets the bucket, he could play to that level. He's not doing it here in Philadelphia. There's so much of some upside. You have to bring in a player that's going to take his position and be able to fill in nicely. You can't develop a player. You don't have the time. You do not have the time to do it. That being said, love the show, guys. Can't wait to keep listening.
Yeah, absolutely. Hang with us. We definitely. Go ahead, TP. Go ahead, brother.
No, I was going to ask Frank if he thinks the process is over.
Good question.
So I think the process over. Man, that's the process. I'll tell you, I remember being down at the Wells Fargo Center, $10 ticket, and a handy you would get front row seat. All right, and when the process was around with. You know, Michael Carter Williams and Evan Turner and whoever the else was on the team, the snack bar guy at that point. Is the process over? The process is over. The time to win is now. You do not have many years left. Three tops you have to compete for a championship. You have to bring in somebody now.
Okay, so let me ask you this question, Frank, and then we keep moving after this. So You're Daryl Morey, right? Keep in mind, I'm a Rockets fan, so I love a guy like he's my own. But you're Daryl Morey. What move are you making right now to fix this?
Dan, at this point, at this point, and there's obviously a lot of changes. The most realistic one you're looking at, obviously, the Toronto play, you can look at that one. Don't see Lillard coming here. Wish I did. CJ McCollum may be probably the most realistic move. It may be the most realistic move that could actually happen. Now, there's always dream scenarios that we could talk about, and I'll share a few of those with you guys another time that we had actually done on my side of things at my show. But realistically, CJ McCollum might be the move. You can't – you know what? To be realistic, we might get screwed, and it might come down to draft picks, and we might actually just get draft picks for this guy. And it will be the most saddest thing. The last two points that we drafted, look at them. Who was it? Ben Simmons and who else? Markelle Fultz. And look at the look what happened. Markelle ended up going to Orlando. He's playing pretty decent. Okay?
Yeah.
And now we have Ben Simmons the way he's playing. Is he going to move on and play decent as well? Is it more than the player? Is something happening in Philadelphia? You know, we have to look a lot into it. But the fact of the matter is, Ben Simmons has the talent to be able to play at a high level, and he's not producing. And not for the shackles that he's bringing in.
And that's why I think the process, to TP's point, I think it's kind of failed. Because look at the two guys that you brought in. They're one's not there, and one's on his way out, like in Simmons and Marquez Fultz. So, I mean, TP, I'll ask you really quick, and then I want to definitely kind of move on. But realistically, gun to your head, what is the trade package that is pulled off? Because now he's talking in the next, you know, by the 28th, he's not going to be he's not reporting to camp. So 28 days and counting, if you had a gun to your head, what package do you think gets pulled off, the trigger gets pulled, and Ben Simmons is moved?
For what Philadelphia needs right now is a shooter. And Seth Curry is one of the shooters. If they're going to move, they're going to need somebody that can dribble and shoot or work it that way. So I'm figuring if they could work something with Portland and get CJ out of there, if they're really so gung-ho on saying that this is CJ's fault out there in Portland, where I obviously think CJ's a monster working next to Dame, and it's more or less Dame shooting them out of games, then CJ in certain games where Dame is going crazy is shooting 50%. Then get rid of him, send him to Philly, He's a ball control guy that can shoot the hell out of the ball. Him and Seth can work off of the ball together, and that work immediately. If anything else, they could work with it. And have him go there with Cuzzo, Norman Powell, and Damian Lillard and let that work out somehow, some way. Other than that, I don't really see too many teams making it suitable. Like, even if he went to the Warriors, are they going to give up Draymond for him and, like, do this all over again? And somebody that's not going to shoot, and it's going to be him, Wiggins, Clay, and Steph? I question that. And I don't think any of those L.A. teams move on him because they're basically locked in at the three positions, being LeBron James and either Paul George or Kawhi, however they work that measure. So I don't think that any of them should move on a guy that's still trying to figure themselves out and turning down help from guys like Hakeem Olajuwon and such. If you feel like you're better than help from legends in the NBA game, I you go off the greener pasture, send him to Minnesota, and he can go fishing in one of those 10,000 leagues.
That's my major problem with him. I mean, how do you turn down a hand like Olajuwon? Look at the players that he's worked with. Like, just – I named two, you know, LeBron and Kobe. I mean, it's – I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't envy you, Frankie. I really don't. The taste in my mouth from Ben Simmons is just so sour right now. You know, it's like, congratulations, you played yourself. Like, I hope you get traded to the Timberwolves. I hope you get traded to, like, a Big Three team. Like, you know, go to Gary Payton's team. Like, go play Big Three. Like, at this point, like, I'd rather have Joe Buckets, like, you know, than this guy. Give me a break. But yeah, call the number 929-477-2759. The chefs are with you at the Callers Cookout. We cooking up. This is an appetizer. We went hard on it. So you know it's gonna get nothing but even better. I wanted to talk Rajon Rondo, but if anybody wants to talk about it, we can really quickly. But I really want to get to some NFL talk. I mean, is anybody down with Rajon Rondo going to the Lakers?
I mean, we can set it off. You can do it quick if you want. I mean, it's not a threat. I'm not thrilled. I mean, it's a move.
Yeah, give me your opinion, TP. Go ahead, brother.
I think it makes it very interesting that he goes to the Lakers. They have great depth and experience. Him and Russell together make it very awesome. You got one veteran guard that, you know, is more prone to defense, and you have one that's a threat anytime he's on the floor, whether it's him downhill or, you know, trying to set guys up. So, and them spelling each other will be great. I just want to, you know, the health situation is what I worry about Rondo. If he is able to give them something, knowing that he knows the system and what it took for them to get to the NBA Finals in just 2 years ago with the Lakers in the bubble. But we'll see how that works out. Again, I'm not thrilled about it. It's a move. It adds depth to the Lakers. And, you know, they are – you know, I think they have another two pieces to slide into the roster. So that's something that I'm thinking about.
I mean, Aaron, I mean, serious, what's your opinion on what's going on with Rajon Rondo getting the buyout from the Grizzlies and then, you know, going to sign or it did sign with the Los Angeles Lakers?
You know, man, this is something that I think it's big for LA. You know, I think the Lakers needed a veteran point guard to come in there and to provide, you know, additional leadership and high basketball IQ. You know, I honestly, from top to bottom, if you look at the rest of the moves that the Lakers subsequently made, you know, bringing back a Dwight Howard, bringing in a Trevor Ariza, you know, picking back up Rajon Rondo. These are guys that have been there before and understand what it means to wear that Lakers uniform. And to, I mean, they're all champions. Dwight finally got his, you know, with the Lakers. Trevor Ariza won his with Kobe as a member of the Los Angeles Lakers. You know what I'm saying? So I think it's huge. I think it's something that it's going to be fun to watch. This is going to be one of the oldest teams, if not the oldest, you know, as we, you know, come up on training camps and get ready for the next season. So, you know, Father Time is going to tap a bunch of these guys on the shoulder, and it's going to be kind of interesting, kind of cool that you can lean on the services of these seasoned veterans. You know, Frank Vogel going to luck box himself into another situation, man. Let's see what he does with it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's funny because he kind of took a little bit of a shot against the Clippers on his way out. Basically said, I don't think I've changed much. I don't think my game has declined, but you're only as good as your coach believes in you. So definitely a little bit of a shot across the bow against Tyronn Lue and the Clippers. But at the end of the day, his time in L.A., at least on the Clipper side, is over, and he's back in L.A. on the Lakers side. And I you know, one of my songs I like listening to, Mick Jenkins, called The Fit. I mean, it just opens up. Sometimes it's just about the fit, you know. And I don't think it was a fit in L.A. with the Clippers. And you could see it by the end. He didn't even barely saw the court in that playoff run. So the only thing that bothers me, it's two point guards that, you know, really not great shooters. But, I mean, honestly, they'll make it work. They'll figure it out. I think it'll be rough the first, you know, maybe month or two. But LeBron, Westbrook, and company will figure it out. And they'll start winning games, and, you know, I think they'll be one of the teams to beat, to be honest with you. I mean, it is concerning that, you know, I think, what, five, six guys on the team are older, 35 and older, with Melo, LeBron, Gasol, Ariza, and Howard, and now Rondo. So that's a problem, but you know what? I mean, if you don't have to play them 30, 40 minutes a night, I think it'll work, and I think they'll figure it out, so I won't be surprised that the Lakers are right there at the end of the season, you know, competing for a championship like everybody thinks they will. So, yeah, that's basically what I definitely wanted to get on that. But big news, NFL last preseason games were on Sunday. My Giants, the TP, went to go check in on them. Daniel Jones, get rid of the damn ball. I'm never calling that guy Danny Dimes. Get rid of the ball, guy. You got a terrible offensive line. We don't need you holding the ball for five seconds, dude. Get rid of the football. That's a note from the villain. But, I mean, other than that, the preseason has come and gone. There were cuts on Monday and Tuesday. And then most notably yesterday was the big shockwaves early Tuesday morning that Cameron Newton has been released by the New England Patriots, that the New England Patriots are moving to the Mac Jones era, that Mac Jones will be their starting quarterback come week one. Cam Newton is now looking for a new football team to play for. So I definitely want to hit this from both sides. I want to start with, before we get into Cam Newton, I definitely want to get into Mac Jones first, because I think we'll have a lot of time to talk about Cam Newton. But Mac Jones has been named basically the starter and the heir apparent now for New England. The 14th or 15th overall pick. New England didn't have to trade assets to get him. They fell in their lap, and they liked what they saw. Mac Jones is now the undisputed number one. TP, I'll start with you. I don't know if you've seen any of Mac Jones in this preseason, but have you? Are you surprised that Belichick has named him the starter? And what do you think his handicap will be for the season? How far do you think the Patriots can go with him? And how do you think he'll do in his first NFL season?
Are you listening to yourself? Are you paying attention to what you're saying? You said that I went to go check out the Giants Sundays, and who do they play Sunday?
The Patriots.
So that means I've seen him.
I mean, I don't know if you were paying attention or if you were drinking. I don't know. You know, it happened.
Oh, come on. But this is me. You stop it. You're acting. Look, okay, so I am tied up right now. I don't know which way to go with this. Like, I'm obviously feeling a certain way that I don't think that they should have let Cam go. I think there's more or less a situation if you wanted to start Mac than have Cam there. If he struggles, then you have Cam Newton there to pick up the pieces. For them to unload him and there's no quarterbacks behind him, you're letting me know that whatever he's taking you're willing to go through the storm with him, and that's that. This is a loaded AFC. This is an AFC East where you guys are not the favorite. It's still Buffalo, where you guys are just about, I want to say, about 2 to 4 pieces away from getting back into the discussion with Buffalo to try to take the division. Right now, it's clearly, to me, it's clearly Buffalo's division. Clearly. Yeah, I feel like Belichick just showed his hand and was like, that's that. If Mac Jones could come out and surprise me on winning the division, then I feel like I'm in a win-win situation, because I was the one here in Sports City and every other network talking well about Mac Jones and saying that this guy is going to come to the league and do work. I'm not going to say damage, but he's going to be able to do work, knowing that he's going from one pro system with Saban and coming right into one of Saban's friends and Bill Belichick and trying to work this system. He's impressed them this far in the first 3 games and in what they've seen in practice and preseason things. I think this is a good move for Mac and gives him a bit of confidence to get the leg up over a guy like Cam Newton, who has all of the superlatives around him. But this isn't the Cam Newton that we're used to. But again, I'm questioning what the Patriots were up to by getting rid of him completely and dealing with the depth chart that they have now behind Mac Jones. Like, this was the quarterback season that they had a season ago, and when Cam was out, they looked horrible without Cam. And you have a Mac Jones who's basically all new to pro situations and packages, and what they're going to be able to throw at him is interesting, the way that they move. But I think Belichick has been waiting years to just move on from an older quarterback and start anew. But it's like, how long is Bill there for? Like, Bill Belichick, to me, I feel like has a window of 4 to 8 seasons as coach. And if he can't get Mac started off in the right direction in the next 4 years, which he did with Brady from 2000 on, like, this could be a questionable situation. But, again, the Patriots know what they're doing. I can never question Bill Belichick at all. Greatest coach of all time to me, and we can debate that. But the Mac Jones situation, I'm like, I wanted Mac to be in this scenario to give a fight to Cam Newton. I didn't want it to be like, not only did he give him a fight, he got him out of here. And that's the part that I'm questioning. And Cam moving forward, I don't know where he gets a job at, because everybody's yelling at me saying, oh, well, he's going to want a starting job. He's not going to want to sit. Like, right now, this is the point in time where he's at right now. It's going to be hard for him to go to a team and just take over a spot at this point in time. But we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough situation. But, I mean, from my seat, you know, I think it is the right move for both sides, for all sides involved. But, serious, I definitely want to get your opinion. We'll start with Mac Jones. You know, impressive rookie so far in the preseason. It was a crazy stat that I saw. I think he's been on 9 drives in the preseason, and they've scored on every drive. I think it was I don't think anybody had ever done that as a rookie in the preseason. He was just so impressive that I think they had to make that move. So what do you think about Mac Jones going into his first season, Bill Belichick pulling the trigger of him being the starting quarterback and you know, basically, quote unquote, the heir apparent to Tom Brady now?
You know, honestly, man, this, I don't say this comes as a shock, because for me, we sat here in this very kitchen last week at this exact time, and you and I had a discussion, Dylan, about, mm-hmm. you know, who I thought would win the position. And I told you I thought Cam would win the position, but he would have the shortest leash. I honestly thought that he would make this ball club and he would win out and become the number one. And then at some point during the season, he would give way to Mac Jones. And that's no shade to Cam. I just really thought that Mac Jones would, you know, wait a minute, kind of get his feet wet, understand what's going on. And then when Cam, you know, did, you know, something goofy, whatever the case may be, or during the bye week, whatever the case may be, they would go to him. With that being said, everything that we are hearing about Mac Jones, he's proven that. They said that he's a quick study and that he doesn't make the same mistake twice, and he's an accurate thrower of the football. And, you know, you times that by what's going on with the offense and what he's used to and how McDaniels like running his offense. I mean, it all fits. So the fact that he was able to go in there, win over his teammates, you know, win over the offensive staff, the receivers and everything – as a testament to him. So salute to him. Again, I'm surprised that Cam got released. Again, I thought that he would get that starting job. But to your second part about Cam Newton,
don't go too hard. I want to save Cam Newton. I want to save Cam Newton, but I want to focus on Mac first, and we're going to get to Cam.
I got you.
Okay.
But go ahead. When you get there, my thing with Cam, I'm torn.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I'm torn is because I think that for the first time in a long time during this quarterback competition, you did the best that you could. You know, you came to camp, you were in shape, you knew the playbook on the drives that you had, you know, you were accurate with the football, you threw it with zip and et cetera, et cetera, and you just lost, you know, out to, you know, I guess a better competition or a better man. And so I salute you. I wish him nothing but the best going forward. And I'll put a pin in that to talk about the rest of that later.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Cam was impressive, I thought, in the preseason, but Mac Jones was just better. And, you know, I think he made quick decisions. I think TP, you could tell me better than anybody on the panel, because you saw him in person. The ball comes out of his hand quick. He makes decisions. He's not afraid to check it down to make the easy read and to keep the drives going and not make mistakes. I mean, and that's basically what a Belichick and McDaniel's offense wants. They want, like Tom Brady used to do, make decisions. If it's not there, check it down. Don't kill the team. You got a really good defense coming back. You know, and I think he gives them the best chance to do that. I mean, no offense to Cam. You know, Cam's going to take chances, and his arm isn't as accurate as Mac Jones. But you saw Mac Jones in college at Alabama, and you've seen him in the pros. He's the same guy. He's a system guy. He fits. Give the Patriots credit for not trading all the way up in the draft like the 49ers did. I think the 49ers gave up 3 first-round picks to get all the way up to 3 to get Trey Lance. The Patriots didn't give up the commodity of draft picks, stayed where they are, got the quarterback that they wanted to fall to them, and now have picks to build a team around them. So give them credit. But I got Frankie back in. I'm going to bring him right back in and get him on this conversation. So we're talking about Cam Newton getting released by the Patriots yesterday. I want to talk about Mac Jones first, and then we're going to roll right into Cam, Frankie. But I'd love to get your opinion on Mac Jones. Did he impress you in this preseason? How do you think he'll do in his first NFL season in New England, a team that didn't make the playoffs last year and is looking to compete, like TP said, with the Buffalo Bills?
Yeah, guys, thanks for being back on. Sorry about the moving away, but happy to be back on. Let's get right into Mac Jones. So I want to talk a little bit. Let's look at this. These rookie quarterbacks, okay? We have a lot of good ones. We have Mac Jones, Trevor Lawrence, who went number one overall. Justin Fields, very impressive. Trey Lance, Zach Wilson. Let's go over a little bit of stats about these guys, okay? The completions in the preseason, Mac Jones led. Completion percentage, Mac Jones was third out of them. Passing yards, Mac Jones led with 388, led every single one of those rookie quarterbacks. Touchdown passes, he only had one. He had no interceptions, so obviously tied for first. Took a few sacks, held on the ball a little bit. He had 5. Passer rating was 97.3, okay? So the pro football focus grade, Mac Jones was the best quarterback with a 92.2 of all rookie quarterbacks. That's saying something, okay? This guy came at the end of the first round. All right, look at all the quarterbacks that were taken before him. Mac Jones is going to surprise a lot of people the way he plays. Not to mention, he went into a system that was, obviously, you have Bill Belichick. You have a few pieces around. You have a young quarterback. You didn't have to chase up. I think Mac Jones is going to surprise. Now, his first year, I think he'll do better than, all right, I'm going to take a hot take. I think Mac Jones will have a better year than Trevor Lawrence, and that's my opinion, covering sports and sports media in Philadelphia. I do believe that Mac Jones will have a better year than Trevor Lawrence. I think he's got a little bit more composed. I think that I'm not saying a better athlete, but I do think with the system that he's in, he will have a better year. And I won't touch too much on Cam yet, but there is a comment that I do want to make that intertwines with both.
Wait, before you go any further, who has the better receiving core, Jacksonville or New England?
Well, I mean, New England, who's New England have really to throw to? I mean, who? When was the last time they actually had somebody to throw to when they would go back to Brady?
It's going to be tough for him to have a better season than Trevor if Trevor has receivers around him now.
I think because Mac Jones may be on Trevor Lawrence's level, my opinion. It's a hot take. And me and you will talk about – I think people will do a – let's do it right here on your show, one of the best shows ever. Let's do a wager right now, better year.
Uh-oh. Okay. So I got Trevor, and you got Mac.
You got Trevor. And $50.
I got to be fair. So are you talking statistically, or do you think, like, he'll have a better season as far as winning record, or you think – no, he'll be like offensive
rookie
of the year.
Because Jacksonville is still Jacksonville. Hold on.
Jacksonville is still Jacksonville. So we'll do stats, if that's okay with you, my friend.
That's fine. Totally.
And I think Lawrence is the favorite to win offensive rookie of the year. But I agree with Frankie in the aspect. I think overall will have a better year. I think stats wise, Lawrence will put up better stats. I think he'll be playing from behind, and throwing a lot of passes and getting a lot of opportunities.
Well said.
But let's not give the Patriots the poo poo. I think bringing Nelson Aguilar in, they have Kendrick Bourne. They have, like we said last week, me and Sirius said last week on the cookout, they got two really good tight ends that they brought in. And Henry and Smith. So they got some weapons to throw with, and they have a really good running back by committee. They actually had to trade one of them and still have good running backs out there in Harris and White. So, Mac has some toys to play with. It might not – maybe, in your opinion, it could be better. Jacksonville toys could be better. But you know what? I think he has a chance to have some really good – numbers because of the weapons that they've upgraded with in this pass off season. So I think going to Mac was the right move. I think Sirius said it last week, and I kind of said it too. I think, give Cam like a month and then he wouldn't be the starter for much longer, depending on how the records went. But I think if that's your guy, that's your guy. And if you draft him that high and he played that well in the preseason, I don't know how you don't move on from Cam, and that's no disrespect to Cam, but I think you just go with that guy. I think he's your guy. And so I'm going to move to Cam because I give Belichick credit. I don't know how it went down. I'm pretty sure the conversation, in my opinion, went, I'm going with Mac Jones. I want you to be here. I want you to be the backup. Do you want to be the backup? Cam probably said, no, I think I could be a starter in here. Belichick said, "You know what? I'm going to do you a favor. I'm going to let you go and let you, find your starting job.
No favors.
You got
there was motive behind it.
Yeah,
no favors.
Yeah. I mean, but that's kind of my opinion. I think he did do him a favor by releasing him because being here and collecting a check is probably not what Cam wants to do at 32 years old. He still thinks he can play. I think he could still play in this league. So he got his wish and he's got an ability to go to a team." And play some meaningful football. So I'm going to come right back to you, Frankie, with Cameron Newton on the market. Handicap the whole situation. Do you think it was a good move for him? Are you surprised by his release? And where do you think he'll end up?
Good point to kind of what you're making. So right off the bat, though, side note, you did mention the offensive rookie of the year. I think Kyle Pitts wins the offensive rookie of the year this year, the tight end that was just drafted out of Florida. That being said, Cam Newton, I think, and here's my take on Cam Newton. Now, of course, why wouldn't you keep Cam Newton as a backup? He can mold. Now, they have different games, but let's be real here. Cam Newton was one of the most dynamic quarterbacks that we get to watch play. Even in college, you go back to Auburn, he was phenomenal, okay? He was a body. He was so much fun to watch. And as I mentioned, I always took him in fantasy football. I look at it like this, and you go back with Tom Brady and then having Drew Bledsoe as his backup. You didn't need that star caliber player behind your future quarterback. You don't need a former MVP of the league behind your fresh face rookie quarterback. You don't need a distraction. Mm. You don't need that competition. Okay, just like Nick Foles and Carson Wentz. I'm sorry first. Okay, now you couldn't have Nick Foles here anymore. No matter all the debacle, if we should have kept Nick Foles, we were going with Carson Wentz. Oh. Every ball from Nick Foles, you couldn't keep that distraction. With that being said, you could not keep the distraction of a former MVP behind your rookie quarterback. You had to move on from him if he was going to be your number one.
I that's kind of how I see it. You know, if he wasn't going to be your guy, you had to move on.
Yeah,
but I think
where he goes. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're breaking in and out, I think, but I don't know if it's my line or your line, but I totally agree with you. You can't have a former MVP backing him up and being a shadow behind him. If you're going to let him start, you got to let him start, and you can't have that. You can't have him on your back. You know what I mean? You can't have him hovering behind you. So, but we do got a caller in queue. I'm going to bring him in, and I definitely want to pass this around. Calling from the 615. Mikey Harvey is in the building. Mike, what's up, brother?
What's up, guys? How are you doing tonight?
How we doing, Mikey?
We are chilling like a villain. But we're definitely getting into this Cam Newton, Mac Jones talk. I definitely want to get your hot take on that. Cam Newton released by the Patriots. Mac Jones named the starter in New England. What do you got for me?
Yeah, I was kind of surprised at the release, but I wonder if it went down kind of like you're saying. Because he's been in this league for a while. He's kind of a veteran. You wonder if he could have been an influence. And so you wonder if, like, they did decide, yeah, we're going to go with Mac. He's going to start for us. I mean, look. Having a conversation last night about other places that he could find as a backup, but I think those are still a few options. I mean, I can think of about three or four, but
we're losing them.
Mike, are you talking about Mikey there?
I think we're losing Mikey.
Yeah, I think we lose Mike. I don't know if you have a bad line. Try to call back in because I thought it was my phone, but I think it might be the line. But I love where he was going with it, and that's, I mean, it was kind of what I was alluding to too. But serious, I'll come right to you, Mike. I'll bring you right back if you call. I think you're still on, but you know, we'll get you right back in. Serious, I want to get your opinion on Cam Newton. What happened? Was it the right move, and where does he go from here?
All right, so in my honest opinion, you know, just kind of looking at everything from a bird's eye view, I think it was the right move. You know, unfortunately, if you look at the statistics that Cam Newton put up a season ago, it just was below the line. You know, and unfortunately, we have given Cam Newton a pass for so many years for what he was. We need to honestly understand that, you know, even though he was great at one time, he was great at some moment, that he's no longer that, you know. And so, again, I understand it from that perspective. You know, I do hope that he, you know, finds himself a job somewhere and is able to catch on with the team. And, you know, I've been beating the drums for the Houston Texans for the better part of 24 hours. Because I do believe that's, you know, a fast track for him to go to get on the field right now. I don't think that he's going to want to be a backup and anywhere. And in my honest opinion, if you're going to be a backup, why not stay in New England? You know, why not stay where you're comfortable? Why not stay where you got a decent relationship and work and rapport with the guys? You know, but I digress. I think he ends up in Houston. I think that would probably be the best place for him as far as getting on the field. Now, he's not going to get any wins, but if he wants to play right now, I think Houston's the right place for him. And yeah, I don't want to be cast off like I'm, you know, throwing shade at the dude, but if you look at these numbers here, week one last year, he went, you know, 15 for 19. Week two, everybody likes to talk about the week two game against Seattle. And then he progressively got worse. He was out week four due to COVID, and everything like that. Came back week five, you know, completed 17 balls, threw for 84 yards. You know, I mean, this is below the line for what you want your starting quarterback to do. So, again, I wish him the best. Again, I said this before, and I'll say this again. I thought that he competed his ass off this year to try to get that starting job. You know, I was studying him hard this off season. You know, he was throwing with zip. He was confident. He was in the way. He was in the playbook. He, you know, when they drafted Matt Jones, you know, they spoke to him about it, and he said he understood what was going on. He said all the right things. You know, I saw pictures of he and Matt Jones together after practice, you know, doing a thing or whatever, because he said all the right things. Unfortunately, he just lost to the better man.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think Cam can still be a starter in this league, but, I mean, you take away the MVP season, I mean, he's in, you know, not a great passer. He's never been. I've always said that. He's just not a great passer of the football. I mean, out of, I think, 10 seasons, he's thrown for over 60% of his passes four times. I mean, you know, I think you're looking at the Patriots. They want a guy that's going to complete passes and make the smart play and not try to force the ball into tight spots and all that kind of stuff. So, I hope Cam. Mm-hmm. I don't know if Cam can be a starter this year. I hope he.
Nope, he can't be a starter.
I don't think so. I think it's going to be It's going to be, unfortunately, somebody getting hurt. That it's going to happen at some point this year, and they don't like their backup. They don't think they can win with their backup. They'll give Cam a call, and that'll be that. I mean, TP, what do you think, Cam, where he goes from here? I mean, I know you were kind of surprised with the move, but, you know, I'd love to get your opinion on you know, Cam's point of view, him getting released, and then where – was it the right situation for him not to be there if he wasn't going to be the starter? And where does he go? Where does he end up?
I don't know exactly where he'll end up. There's definitely possible suitors that he can go to and start. There's actually a team that he could go to and be valuable to, waiting for his spot as the starter is sitting there and he can out, you know, perform them if he gets the shot. I do not think that this is the end of the road for Cam. I just think that it was a bad situation in New England, especially with a season where he had an injury and he fought COVID. If you did not have COVID, I don't give anybody any room to talk about anybody that battled COVID. If you think it's something that's easy that you can bounce back from in a 5 to 10 day stance, I disagree. I've had it. It happened in April. Believe me, that is an uphill battle. I've watched people have to deal with it for over a year that actually got through the 14-day period. So I do not like the fact that people are diminishing what this guy can do on a football field. Right now, I feel like if he went to Washington, he's a better quarterback than Fitzpatrick. If he went to Indianapolis, I feel he's a better quarterback than Carson Wentz. There are jobs that he can go out there and get. In fact, I hate to be brutal. I hate to be brutal. If he were given a situation with King Henry and Julio, I think that could work in Tennessee right now. And you got a dual threat situation with Henry and Cam, and having to worry about the box and these receivers on the outside with Brown and Jones. Like, that's a situation that they have to worry about. And definitely if he went to Houston, I mean, he'd get the job easily in Houston. But I want to go somewhere where he can make a difference right now. It'd be a competitive situation in New Orleans. I feel like Jameis Winston is a question mark still. I mean, he's actually had some throws that he had in this preseason, but Jameis Winston still has a point to prove right now. Or Taysom Hill, like both of them. They went through Taysom Hill $140 million, and he's not starting. Like, that's insane. So, like, I feel like there are places that Cam could go ahead and make a difference. It depends on where New England ends up going and sending them. But, again, I really think he should have been the guy behind Mac if they didn't think that he was suitable to be the starter. But, again, he actually last season, He had to deal with an injury. He had to deal with COVID at the same time. And, oh, yes, we just had a discussion a few minutes ago right here on the network in the kitchen with Sports City. Who was the receiver core that he had last year? Name some receiver. Who, Nikhil Harry, that didn't play a full season? I mean, give me some pieces. A tight end's blanket. I mean, a quarterback's blanket is a tight end. Name his tight end. I threaten you. I threaten you to name the tight end without Googling or using ESPN as your helper's depth chart. I guarantee you won't come up with a valuable name. He doesn't even have that. In New England, we all know that. That's why Tom Brady left, because Tom Brady didn't have help in New England. So don't do that to him if it's not a fair fight. It's not a fair fight.
I agree with you, TC, that he can go to a team. I'm going to come to you, Frankie. I got a caller. I got Mike back. I'm going to bring him in. I agree with you. There's teams that he can go to and perform better than the starter that's probably in place right now. But I'm going to be realistic and tell you there's no way in hell he would go to Tennessee right now. There's no way in hell he would go to New Orleans right now, because why would you bring in a quarterback with almost 10 days to go in the season and bring him in to try to bring him in to be the starter? There's not enough time. There's just not enough time for him to come in and learn a new system and be your starter. Yep. So while I think he could be a better option in Washington, absolutely. That was one of the teams that I gave you. I said he's better than Fitztragic. He could be he should have been in Washington last year. Like I don't know why Washington didn't take a flyer on him, especially with Rivera there. He knows him, but I
and
don't see how at this. Yeah, but I don't see how at this point they can bring him in to compete for a starting job if. By week one, I don't think he's going to be ready at week one. He just got out of COVID protocol. So that's another thing that's going to, you know, like stop his ability to come in right away and be the starter. I don't know if he had it, but he was in the protocol. He was in the tracing. So, and that's, teams are saying that's not a factor. It is a factor if he's not vaccinated. Can you bring him in if he's not vaccinated? You got to keep watching him and monitoring him and hoping that he doesn't catch COVID. Like it's a tough situation. So, I want to bring in Mikey, and then I definitely want to pass it back around. So, Mike, we got you back in. I hope the line is a lot better. I definitely want to hear your take, brother.
Can you hear me better now? Is this any better?
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah.
You're good.
Okay.
Go ahead,
cool.
Bro.
Cool. Yeah. So. It's interesting. Thomas mentioned some teams that I think he could really compete in if he's healthy. We have not seen some of the zip on the ball. He looked good early on last year, but I honestly haven't seen the same zip on the ball come from camp since he had the major shoulder injury a couple of years ago. And so I'm not sure what the guy has left. I was thinking about different teams around the league. I heard Sirius say Houston a minute ago. I hope that doesn't happen for Tyrod Taylor. The poor guy got his lung punctured last year just trying to get a shot or whatever, which, then he loses the job to Justin Herbert. I'd like to see Tyrod Taylor get a chance to play again, but I kind of fear for anybody that's going to play in Houston behind that line and with that team this year. I mean, it's going to get ugly really fast. As far as I do think that Cam's not willing to wait for an injury, and maybe he looks around and sees, now they got two tight ends, so they do have tight ends in place, but there's still not a deep receiving core in New England. The other team that I think about when I think about as far as the backup option, I think Dallas Cowboys make a lot of sense. Jerry Jones does take care of his players. They don't have anything behind Dak Prescott. Spurgeon win. That's not him. That's the other guy from the draft before. But the backup, I saw him play the other day. I can't call his name. Cooper Rush. That's his name. I always think of Spurgeon win because of the guy that came in the draft before Brady. Cooper Rush. There's not a whole lot in Dallas, and we know Dax. History, there's a lot of weapons on the outside in Dallas with that receiving core. If you're not going to start, maybe that's the place for him to go. I think Dallas makes a lot of sense. But to Time's point, I was almost wondering if New Orleans was going to sign him even in this past offseason. There are a couple other teams that I think he's better than. I mean, you got to think about with Indianapolis. He mentioned Carson Wentz. we haven't seen Carson Wentz be healthy for an entire season yet, and then it's what, Sam Ehlinger or Jacob Eason? Come on. Like, you can't tell me that Cam probably doesn't have the opportunity to be more successful than either one of those guys in Indianapolis. But to your point, it is kind of short. You don't have a whole lot of time. But you got to get him in somewhere. I'm surprised he didn't just stay the course in New England once they decided to go with Mac Jones, and that's probably the right play. I mean, honestly, if the kid's performing all right in preseason and this is the guy that you want to be your future, you might as well start now. But I was still kind of surprised to see this guy get let go. And I don't know, people watch them a little more than I do, can tell me what kind of dip he had on the ball or how he was looking throwing the ball in this preseason. But it's still kind of a shocker when you see a guy of this caliber get released, or a guy with this name to get released.
I don't know why he would want to stay in New England if he wasn't going to be the starter. I think he still thinks he can start, and I think he can start for a couple of teams. I don't think wanting to be a backup in New England was an option for him. I think he wanted the ability to start. If he can't start, if nobody wants him to be the starter this year, okay, I'll sit out. I got $3.5 million. I'll sit out. I'll wait for somebody to get hurt and take my chances. But being in New England and not being able to go anywhere after week six or whatever, I don't know if that was going to be an option for him. So, I mean, anybody wants to take it up. I mean, anybody wants to talk about where you think Cam is a good fit. Dallas is an intriguing name. Houston was thrown out. Washington football team, I'd like that fit because I just don't believe it fits Tragic. But I mean, any other teams that you guys got out there that you think he would be a better fit in?
All right, here we go. If you don't mind, so my show here in Philadelphia, when I get ready to do a debate, Frankie's no longer on the show. We got a segment called Buckethead, and the bucket's on the head right now. And I want to debate our good man Time over there. First of all, right off the bat, and you guys already kind of touched on it, there's no way in hell he's going to Tennessee and taking Ryan Tannehill out. Ryan Tannehill, in my opinion, is probably a top five quarterback, okay? Right off the bat, the resurgence of the Tannehill is in full effect. There's no way he's going to Tennessee. And the matter of fact, like you guys had already touched on, there's no way he can go somewhere and be a starter and learn the playbook soon enough. You guys already touched on that, but I have to go with the Greens on that. There's no way it's going to happen, okay? Indianapolis, to be honest with you, don't see him going there because Carson Wentz is a better quarterback than him. The MVP caliber of Cam Newton is over, okay? He's not going to get back to that level. Now, you mentioned COVID. Yeah, dude, I'm with you 100%. I'm sorry that you had to go through that, my brother. But there's no way that he is going to be able to be a starter right now. And to be honest with you, and this is a hot take from Buckethead himself, I don't even know if Cam Newton is going to play in the league this year, okay? You look around, a lot of the quarterbacks are having right now. Fitzmagic. Well, guess what? Fitzmagic knows the system. And believe it or not, I like Fitzmagic, to be honest with you. Okay? Cam Newton, the days are numbered, and they're getting down to single digits. I personally don't even know if Cam Newton is going to play in the league this year. Now, you have a few injuries. Maybe they'll bring him in. He's still, he can still make a few moves here and there. But he's not a starting quarterback anymore. He's a backup. And to be honest with you, he might not even be that this year, all right? Everybody's got their quarterbacks. Everybody's learning their system. It was a shortened preseason. He wasn't really here for it enough. And going back to our man that was on a little bit ago, mentioning how Cam should have maybe took the backup role. You couldn't keep an MVP quarterback behind your rookie quarterback. You had to cut ties. You had to let him go. Now, we'll see where Cam Newton goes if he decides to go anywhere. But like I just said, I don't think Cam Newton's going to be playing much football this year.
I mean, we've seen it. Like, you know, when you have a Hall of Famer behind you at your quarterback, ask Steve Young and Joe Montana. Ask how that situation went years ago. It doesn't work. It's always when you have a bad game or a bad throw, where's Joe Montana? You're looking over your shoulder. Is he going to come in? So, I mean, I agree. If you got a former MVP sitting behind you, it's just not a comfortable situation. And I think Cam still can start. But I think he needs to humble himself. He needs to take a backup role and let it play out.
Yeah, he maybe is too cocky, and you know, he was a former MVP, so he can be cocky, but that was six years ago, bro.
MVP like 05.
Yeah, that was 15, but that was 6 years ago. I mean, Jameis Winston swallowed his pride, took a backup role, and now he's in position to lead that Saints team, and I think deservedly so, because I think he had a pretty good preseason. So Cam is a little older. I don't know if he wants to do that, but I think, listen, if he just takes a role, shows that he can, you know, be a good team guy, which I know he can be, and everybody knows he can be. I'm not saying that he's not a good team guy. I think everybody loves him as a teammate. He's a great person. But I think if he could just take that role, let it play out this year, and then come into next year when maybe like a Pittsburgh Steelers opportunity opens up, because maybe this is Ben Roethlisberger's last year, maybe you can kind of land somewhere on your feet and find yourself in the starting role. But it's not a dig at you, Sirius. I'm being real. I'm being honest. But, you know, anyway, I just hate that my son is playing for the Steelers in flag football. It's just disgusting. I wish there was like a Giants. Go ahead, Sirius.
The old Pittsburgh.
So here's my question. Here's my take on that. There has been a lot of Cam Newton to Pittsburgh ties and a lot of Cam Newton to Pittsburgh stuff that's been written. And here's my take on it. Even if Ben Roethlisberger goes out this year, we're not going to sign Cam Newton because of what we've done with Mason Rudolph. We picked up Dwayne Haskins. I just do not foresee Cam Newton being in Pittsburgh. Now, do I think he will come into Pittsburgh and maybe thrive? Time will tell. But one of the things I do know about Matt Canada is he's another guy who likes to throw the football, and he likes his quarterback to be accurate. Unfortunately, the biggest bugaboo on Cam Newton is that he's not a good thrower of the football. He's one hell of an athlete. Don't get it twisted. You can go all the way back to his Auburn days. He's one hell of an athlete. His athleticism won him an MVP award. His athleticism got him to, and then that defense got him to a Super Bowl. But his athleticism got him to where he's at today. That Father Time has tapped him on the shoulder and said, "Bruh, if you want to play in this game, you got to evolve." And he has yet to do that. So I tend to laugh at people when they say Pittsburgh just because that's my squad. I want to say something about Washington. Washington passed on him twice. Washington could have had him last year. They said no. Washington could have went and got him this year, and they chose to go get a 37-year-old Ryan Fitzpatrick. Washington and Ron Rivera does not want to get in the Cam Newton business. They know him. They've been there. They've done that. They don't want to go there. I live here. I hear it. I know it. I've seen it. They don't want to do nothing with Cam Newton. Now, is he better than Ryan Fitzpatrick? Time will tell. Maybe. But people need to stop trying to put Cam Newton in Washington because Ron Rivera doesn't want nothing to do with that dude. For whatever reason, he doesn't want nothing to do with him.
I mean, maybe he knows
TP, I'm going to let you go in.
He had him for, 8 years? TP, I'm going to let you go in and answer because I know Frankie came with some heat to come after your comments. I'll let you get some time to retort if you want to.
You call that fire? Wait, that's fire? Like, do not bark up this tree because this tree will fall on you. I don't know why his advisor ain't forewarned him. Please, not Tom. I'm not for play. I don't slack a minute. All y'all thug rapping and gimmicks, I will end it. All y'all yapping, befriend it. You are not deep. You made your bed now, sleep. Don't make me expose you to these folks that don't know you. Frankie, I know you well. I've stolen you well. Twinkle toes, you're breaking my heart. You can't play with me. Go play somewhere. I'm busy. And all your other cats throwing shots to Thomas, you only get half a bar. Now, let me get at this, okay? So this is the crazy part. You're going to sit here and tell me a 37-year-old Ryan Fitzpatrick is better than Cam Newton. I do not buy that. You're going to tell me that Ron Rivera got to a Super Bowl with Cam Newton, even though Cam Newton and his Panthers lost. I think they were outmanned. They didn't have enough on the offensive side of the ball. To me, even though they had a Hurricane, the Hurricane was probably his best receiver on that side of the ball.
Philly.
The receivers that they had in that Super Bowl, both, I didn't cut you off. Please don't do it to me. The best receivers that they had in that Super Bowl, both of them, which one was Greg Olsen, the other one was Ted Ginn, both of them caught four passes. And they blitzed him all day because they wanted to see him throw to these guys, and it couldn't happen. You're in a situation right now where New England had nobody, and you're picking on him with nobody, and he's fighting through a pandemic situation, so on and so forth. Carson Wentz just got outplayed in Philadelphia by a rookie in Jalen Hurts that Philadelphia is not content with and may end up moving away from Jalen Hurts. They send him to Indianapolis, and now he's battling something, not only injury, but he's out to COVID right now. What if he doesn't bounce back in Indianapolis, let alone they are without T.Y. Hilton and others? I've had this discussion with other people, including outside of the kitchen. Like, there are opportunities for him to go, and then they try to bring Ryan Tannehill. Let's talk about Ryan freaking Tannehill. Ryan Tannehill went and got $100-something million in Miami, and they believed in him. Do you know that they sent him on his way because he could not do anything in Miami? He went to Tennessee, and it was so easy to have a running back that's 6'4", 250, and bring the lumber every time he totes the ball. And then he had a receiving core and a tight end core that was actually making a difference down the field. Easy pitch and catch for him, but in big games he couldn't win them. And you have a quarterback like Cam that can go down there, but they're not going to do it because of the money that they did throw to Ryan Tannehill, which I understand the dynamic of the business of football. But if I'm looking at quarterback to quarterback, you could put stat against stat, except last season because he did not play as many games as Tannehill. I think Cam will outdo a guy like Ryan Tannehill. That's just me. And if I'm looking across the board, there's several teams that I can look at that this guy can go make a difference on. If I'm looking at the New Orleans Saints, I think he's better than Jameis Winston, and I think he's better than Taysom Hill at the quarterback position. And you also said the Houston situation, which I don't even – if you're going to tell him to retire, then tell him to retire, then send him to the Houston Texans, because that's what's going to happen, because there's nothing down there. Like, all they have is a good stable of running backs, and they're hoping and praying that this receiving corps get it done. Like there are a load of teams that I feel like he can go to and make a difference. And then actually accepting the role of being a two quarterback, I get it. It's probably to be involved. And a lot of people are punishing me on, oh, well, the Lions won't do well because Jared Goff isn't ready for big-time play. Well, if Goff ain't ready for big-time play, then go get Cam Newton and bring him to Detroit. And if Goff don't pan out, you got Cam there. But if Goff is what he was 3 years ago when he was 23 years old, then let Goff go out there and run the show and do what he can. But be ready for his backup, because the backups that are behind Jared Goff aren't great. Either David Blau or enter another name here. Like, these aren't quarterbacks that I'm going to be content with. And if you can measure it. Are you saying Goff is better than Cam Newton? Like, and this is me putting myself on the line here. And I'm actually going with my brain here. Like, I don't know if Goff is better than Cam. I think that's a debatable situation. They both got to the Super Bowl. Both of them got there and lost. You see what I'm saying? Like, you have to go with the experience at this point in time. Like, not just, oh, well, we seen what he did in New England last year in that game against Seattle. Everybody in the entire world, I mean Earth, knew that they were going to give Cam the ball at the one-yard line. They had a goal line set, no running backs behind them. Who else was getting the ball? They had tight ends lined up just to make a block. What was stopped? And he got stopped at the one-yard line. Like, that's what happened at Seattle game. Like, I don't think that was a fair situation of that New England season last season for people to be like, well, this is a measuring stick of Cam Newton and what he could bring to a team with nobody. Because he's done it in Carolina. He doesn't have that, and he's older now. He's what, 31 years old, and he can't play ball no more. I don't think that's fair at all. And he did have good games this preseason, like, with newer pieces on the roster. Like, I'm not buying what you guys are dishing out. So this is what I see. This is how I feel. I at least give you five teams right now off the top of my head without looking at teams across the board that he can go either start or have an impact waiting for a quarterback to F up.
I just disagree with you, TP, in the fact that I'm gonna go right to you. But I disagree because I don't think he's better than Jameis Winston. I think Jameis Winston is a way better thrower of the football than Cam Newton at this point in his career, and I think Goff is a little bit better than Cam. I'm looking at him last year. Yeah, he scored touchdowns, most of them rushing touchdowns. I don't think he can come in and move the football in the air. I don't think he's ever been able to do that in his career at a consistent level. You know what I mean? Like, consistently making accurate throws. I've seen a lot of balls skip into the ground or go overthrow. So I'm not saying he can't play in this league. I know he can play in this league. I think he's good. I think he's as good as maybe 10, 15 of the starters in the league. I just don't see him going into a situation like Detroit or New Orleans right now and being a better option than what they have right there. Go ahead.
Okay. By the way, the bucket's still in the head, so let's keep this going. First of all, I'll agree with you on one thing, my brother. I will say that Cam Newton probably may be able to take Jared Goff's spot. Now, with that being said, now, you look at some of the weapons that you were talking about with Ryan Tannehill. Well, he's got the big running back. He's got the wide receivers. Cam Newton didn't have that. Well, guess what? Maybe Bill Belichick and his cronies over there should have got their quarterback some weapons, okay? You play with who you got. That's all that matters to that. You see that they're struggling? Go out and get your quarterback, who is your leader on the field and your general. Go out and get him some weapons then if you don't think he has enough. They don't ever do it. They barely did it for Tom Brady. And then we're not comparing that because that's not even fair. Now, with that being said, it's just unbelievable. Cam Newton just cannot jump back in and be able to do it. The Patriots thing that you keep going back to, brother, get him weapons then. You can't say, oh, well, he didn't have any players. Listen, you play with who you got. He didn't have no wide receivers. You know what, Harry Douglas and Mohamed Sanu for 6 minutes? Who knows, okay? He's not an accurate thrower. It's just not going to work. The Cam Newton days are sitting down. And I'm a little upset about it because I've been playing for a long time. He was my fantasy football quarterback. Now, I end up cutting him halfway through because clearly he can't throw the ball, and you have to rely on his feet the whole time, and he's getting slower, he's getting older. You know, I think he's actually checking in for his AARP card at this time. Now, going forward, I don't see too much Cam Newton this year, and I think it's time we put a dagger in the Cam Newton discussion because the days are numbered, and you know, not too much football going on for him this year.
Okay, so let me get back at this situation because this is going on far too long. Okay, so Barry tried to come at me with this, and now I'm actually looking at
numbers. I'm not coming
really
at
like,
you. Don't do that.
Why do people do this to me? Like when I start talking, people like
it's
like
nice
I get under your skin.
Be
like
nice
I feel like I'm that guy. When they call me mosquito time. They call me mosquito timeless right now since I'm getting under your skin, and I'm not gonna call you Elton John.
Yeah,
so I'll call
nice
you John Elton.
Nice.
Well, excuse me, move out of the way. I'm not gonna call you Elton John. So I'm gonna call you John Elton Bucket Man. So I'll do this, okay? So you're talking about Cam Newton, right? So in his career, he's had over 60% completion percentage in his career, right? In 2019, that was his worst because he only played two games that season because he was injured. Last season, he had 8 touchdowns thrown in a season where he missed time and he was battling the COVID. Up and down the board, you saying that he can't throw the ball. He's had seasons of 21-19, 24-18, 35-19, 22-24. I think that's fair with the pieces that he's had on the outside. I think from 2011 to 2013, I think it may be 12, that Steve Smith was there. And that was a young Cam. Outside of that, he had to deal with guys like Funchess, Ginn Jr., Moore. Like these are
Billy
the guys
Brown.
He was throwing the
Billy
ball.
Brown.
Like, you guys are and you didn't bring anything to the fight just to say that just Cam is not ready to play football. Like, that's not a fight. Then put your gloves down and take that bucket off and go sit in the corner because this is something that you don't want right now. And this is a situation that where Cam Newton, just like you said, is in the same scenario that Tom Brady went through. Tom Brady left because they didn't bring him any help. If they are so gung-ho on not bringing Thomas Edward Brady help, what are they going to do with Cam Newton? They're not trying to bring him help. So they're like,
out.
He's going to go. Excuse me, I didn't cut you off. I let you do everything. I even pressed mute, and I was yelling at my phone while I was on mute. I was yelling. So if you want to, you can press mute too. So if this is the problem that you have with Cam not performing with nobody across the board, you can't even tell me the receiving core, including the tight ends that he had last year. You can't even give me that. He was trying to win games at the end of the game running the ball because he had nobody, including Sonny Michel. The running backs were hurt. Everybody was freaking hurt on New England. They were running around with a dude named Ashewski. Do you remember this guy? Did anybody know him? I've never even seen him play college ball, and he was playing ball with the Patriots last year. Are you serious? And now he has to go into the season without Julian Edelman, who I feel like is the elder statesman at the receiver position. He's gone. There's no help. Even I feel like Edelman more or less quit because there was nothing around him. Like, he was a feature guy, and he's a slot guy. He's not a number one option. That's what they're looking at. Like, come, like, let's be real here. Like, be fair. Don't just do it just because, oh, Cam had an off season. We're going to pick on him. This dude's a threat, a dual threat at that. So it's like, okay, if Lamar Jackson has a down season, you guys are going to talk bad about Lamar Jackson. I feel like that's coming. Like, this is the bad part.
No,
about
we're not comparing those two now.
Can I finish, please? I give everybody respect. I don't do that to nobody. I don't break none of y'all up. Why? All right. I'm going to hurry up and close out like this. I'll let y'all talk.
You're the man.
I'm waiting for you to finish. Go ahead and finish. I don't want to hear the teardrops on the call. Teardrops and Cole's cast is like two parts. Like, go ahead, finish. You're gonna really compare Cam Newton to Lamar Jackson right now? Is that what we're doing?
I don't think he was doing that though. Like, I don't think it was comparing Lamar Jackson.
If you think I compare Cam Newton to Lamar Jackson, you're wilding. But I'm going back on
you.
I'm muting my phone.
You just said that.
No, I said
you're
going to pick on Lamar Jackson. I said you're going to pick on Lamar Jackson when he has a down season. There is no way that I compare Cam
just
Newton.
Just like you said, we're picking
on
Cam Newton for having a down season. So if
you're
I said that, you would say I'm picking on him.
This is why
I'm
going to be quiet.
If I said that, you would say I'm picking on him. No, you don't have to be quiet. Because if I said that, you would say I'm picking on Cam Newton and I'm comparing him to Lamar Jackson. Because I know you've done that millions of times on this show. So, I mean, even still, the fact is Cam Newton has never been a great passer of the football. I'm not saying he's not a good quarterback. I'm not saying you can't win with him. I'm not saying he's not better than half of the starters in this league. I'm telling you, eye test, he was never a good thrower of the pass or the football. Okay, all right, well, you know what, then he would be, if he was a great passer of the football, why is he looking for a job right now?
He just got released. Wait, hold on. He just got released, bro. And you're saying he's not a great passer of the football.
But why would you release him if he was a great passer of the football? Why would you release him?
I want to finish a sentence. He's been going to war. Okay, I'm going to take my favorite movie of all time. And Barry, you know this movie well because we talk about this all the time. My favorite movie of all time is Harlem Nights, right? Because I'm silly. I like to laugh. I like to have fun. You know what I'm saying? Like this is the height of my life, you know, like laughing. You know what I'm saying? And one of the best parts of the movie is when Quick, a.k.a. Eddie Murphy, kills Tommy from Martin. And his name is Tommy, funny enough, in real life and in the movie, right? So they say that he kills him. Arsenio Hall comes out, finds out that that happens. And then next thing you know, they're chasing Eddie down, and then they all crash the cars or whatever. And then Quick jumps into a store, and he's in the window, and they're screaming Quick, and they shooting Tommy guns at him. And you guys came in with the little pistol because y'all the freaking driver with the little pistol right now. And they telling y'all to put that little stuff away. And that's exactly what's happening when Cam is playing football with nobody alongside him. There's nobody alongside him. He's been doing it all with guys like Jonathan Stewart, Mike Tolbert. These are his running backs. Are you serious? Like, and this is the running threat that they're saying that they're a running team, and he's getting you passing stats. I'm telling you, you're telling me he can't throw the ball. He's completing 60% of his passes in his career, not just in a season. This is what he's doing across the board with the down season of last year. Last year he didn't do much, and he had 65% from what he did last year on that field with nobody. Like, be real here. Like again, I feel like this is that walk down the alley, one gun against the Tommy gun. Like, put that little gun away. Like, let's be serious here. He had nobody. Name his threats. Name the threats that he had in New England last year. Name them. Anybody?
I was on mute. I was talking. God, I didn't want to cut you off.
I'll go on mute. I'm sorry. I'll go back.
No, I was on mute. Go ahead. You're good, right? You're good? We're good? I mean, because, like, you keep bringing up the weapons argument as an excuse for this guy. That's what we're doing here. We're bringing him up. We're bringing up the weapons that he had as an excuse for why he had a down year, not the fact that he was never a good thrower of the football. Okay, that's fine. Who was Daniel Jones' weapons? What was Daniel Jones' weapons?
Wait, are you really trying to bring him into this discussion? Are you doing this?
Yeah, because he had a better completion percentage than Cam Newton. He had 11 touchdowns and 10 interceptions, which sucks. But he had
that's
more touchdowns than Cam Newton's weapons. He had all his weapons
Let's do this. He had Golden Tate, who I feel is better than every receiver that he had on that roster last year.
He's not on the team anymore. He stinks.
I know, but you're saying who did he have? He's not on the team now. But who did he have? He had Golden Tate. He had Golden Tate. Better than any receiver he had last year. Okay. So there you have it.
Who has
we can do this for hours. He had Sterling Shepard. Sterling Shepard is better than a receiver court that Cam Newton
had
last year.
He was hurt half of the year.
I'm not doing none of this. Who's the tight end? Who do you have as a tight end? Barry,
Evan Ingram, who can't catch a cold?
Evan Ingram
made
the Pro Bowl last year. Did Evan Ingram make the Pro Bowl last year?
I mean, that's really, yes, he did, but I mean,
we're talking about the tight end position. You're coming for me.
How many catches and touchdowns did he have last year? How many catches and touchdowns did he have last year?
I'm setting history. Evan Ingram had one touchdown last year.
One touchdown. How many touchdowns did the tight ends of the Patriots have?
Watch this. Okay, no problem. In comparison to the tight ends that are in New England, name one of them without Mike helping you.
How many touchdowns?
Name one.
Juju Smith.
Who?
Exactly.
Johnny just got
You're talking about last year. Thank you for helping me. Thank you. So I'm making Philadelphia and New York get along. They're holding hands. I feel like I'm about to sing We Are the World right now.
That's not just Danny Boyle and Cam Newton thing.
The point is Daniel Jones had much more weapons. Daniel Jones had many more weapons. Look at Darius Slayton as well. He had many more weapons than Cam Newton had last year.
Thank you.
So we're gonna give Cam a pass because he didn't have weapons. That's
everybody
why
wins.
He stunk last year, right? Okay. So what about the other years that he was under 60% completion percentage?
He had 56 in 2019. He played two games. He had 52.9 in 2016, and he was coming off of the Super Bowl season. And I wonder who the whole core was there, but I'm going to look at that. He had 59.1 in 2017. He had... Where are the other 59? He had 59.8. And that was his Super Bowl season. He had 58.5. Then he had 61. He had 57.5. He had 60. Like, and this is dealing with the receiving core in Carolina where the more notable receiver that he's had was Steve Smith for what, I think the first or second season. I think Steve Smith left in 12. I really want to look in depth
at this.
I don't remember.
We got to look.
But it wasn't too long. He didn't stay long with Cam. Like, they got rid of him quick. You know what I'm saying? Like, and made the adjustment of saying that we're going to go with Cam Newton and deal with that. What else am I looking at? And his career winning percentage, he's a winner. He's over 500. He's not a loser. He's not a loser. He's 75-63-1.
I never said he was a loser. Listen, Barry, I want you to go across the GW.
I want you to go across Franklin and go grab that bucket from Frankie and see how it fits because this is what's happening.
I got plenty of buckets here. The problem is, hold on, hang on, Mike. I'm going to come right to you. I'm sorry, bro. The median line for a quarterback has got to be around, 62-63% completion percentage? I don't think he's ever hit that.
It's 64.
It's 64 is the median line that you got to be at to be successful in this league. He's never done that. I don't care who you're throwing it to. I mean, go ahead, Mike. I'm wasting my time talking about it. Go ahead, Mike.
His completion percentages definitely leave something to be desired at times. What has made the difference before, though, is A, he makes plays with his legs, so I don't know what kind of life he still has in those legs. And in the past, even when his completion percentages were not very high, Cam could throw a pretty good deep ball. When he did complete passes downfield, he was able to make a definitive impact when he did throw the ball. His work on those short intermediate routes and his accuracy on some of that has been questionable at times. But even given all of that, I still think he's a better option than some of the starters in this league right now.
And there's no question in that. I don't think anybody here. Maybe Buckethead disagree with that. I think he's a better option than some of the quarterbacks out there. I just don't think it's realistic that he's going to be an option for these teams. I don't think they bring him in. I really don't. And poor Tyrod Taylor. I mean, can he get a little love? Like, you know, I know he would probably, you know, Cam to go to Houston and be the starter, but it's like everywhere he goes, it's like the same old story videos. Like, you know, I see the same hoes. Like, I go to Cleveland, I'm supposed to be the starter. No, we're going to go to Baker Mayfield. I go to the Chargers. Somebody stabs me in the chest with the needle. Then my man Herbert takes my job. I go to Houston. I should be the guy. And then Deshaun Watson shows up to camp. What the peanut butter and jelly bullshit is going on around here? Like, you know, can Tyrod Taylor get a little bit of love? But, I agree. I think he probably can go to Houston and be the starter. And Houston's a mess. But you know what? I don't know if it could get any worse. I mean, even then, we could transition to that. I mean, if you want to keep talking, Cam, let's keep talking, Cam, because it's hot in here. I love it. I love the energy. You can call a number, 929. I got to get the call, 929-477-2759. We're with you for the next 20. But, I mean, in Houston, Deshaun Watson wasn't traded at the deadline on Tuesday. Everybody thought he probably would be on the move. You know, another name that wasn't moved was Zach Ertz. He's still in Philly, Buckethead. But, I mean, I love that name. I'm just going to keep calling Buckethead. But, I mean, Deshaun Watson not traded. He's still in Houston. They said he's the number three quarterback, right? You're paying this guy hundreds of millions of dollars to be the number three option. I'll go right to you, TP Timeless. What happens with Deshaun Watson?
I feel real bad in this situation because even though he was an ACC guy, you know I'm an ACC guy in college football, I love his story. It's just not a fair situation on what happened to him in this offseason. They got rid of every single weapon that he had, and he just wanted out, and they're not trying to let him go. They're like, nope, you're going to stay here and spin records. Blue, all you do is spin records. That's it. What you think? You get the free DJ Quiz, you know? And this is the crazy part, that he's stuck there, and they won't let him go. So now it's like we're going to try to go send him to Miami and put him in Miami and get Tua back? Like, what is that? Like, or leave him here with Tyrod and get picks? Like, Houston is so much of a dumpster fire. I don't even call that a dumpster fire. I call that like a four-alarm blaze or, you know, hell's wrath or something. I don't know. Like, I don't want to say, like, natural disasters here because I try to respect, you know, other things out here in the world because I know karma. You know what I'm saying? And I don't want drama. You know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, it's like, where does he go? Like, is Miami really the move? Like, I know he'll have a great season because he can't wait to just get away from them and just go out there and play ball without a worry. But you got rid of DeAndre Hopkins and J.J. Watt, like, within a year's time and expect him to sit there and make greatness happen while he's been doing great things while watching these people go. Like, watching these people go, he's not competitive with what you have set there. Like, even the running back core, you brought old Mark Ingram there to fizzle out Phillip Lindsay. You brought Phillip Lindsay there. He's a speed demon. What, you're going to split carries with him when he has to get used to what's going on in front of him? Like, Houston is whirling. Like I don't get it at all. I feel bad for him. If they wanted to, we could trade, send him to Michigan. I'd send him right to Michigan. I'd love every last bit of it. If you feel like he can't be a part of your facilities and the team organizations, and we can do work with him. But don't have him there sitting there and then come out there and spin records, and he ain't gonna play nothing but anniversary or slow jams. Like no, we got to go out there and jam. We got to go out there and ball, man.
Do you know what today?
I can't with these. I keep
on with
you, man. It's my anniversary.
I can't.
Exactly. You know what? But Mike, go ahead. Mike, I want to hear your opinion, Mike, with Deshaun.
First of all, I think this Deshaun Watson thing, I mean, obviously a lot of teams are scared off because they're not sure what's going to come up. I still wonder if there's a setup going on, but that's a whole other conversation that we probably don't want to get into right now because you notice none of this stuff started coming out until after he said he wanted out of it. That being said, what I'm also curious to see, like, I agree with Time as far as for my team. I'm a Saints fan. Listen, if you don't want him in Houston anymore, send him to New Orleans. I'll give you Taysom Hill and Jameis, bro. You can have them both. Like, I think that it's sad to me because Deshaun Watson is a special talent, right? Like, you're taking away all the weapons. You're taking away all the things that, you know, this team was a perennial division winner or right there in the playoff picture every year until just a couple of years ago, and then they started getting cute. And you don't know what they're trading these guys away for, and it just doesn't make a lot of sense. They go get a couple of years ago, they go get him some help on the line when they went and got Laramie Tunsil, and they try to do some other things to try to protect him a little better. And then you look up over the next couple of years, and it's like, I don't even know what they're doing in Houston. You know, you got some depth in the backfield. I do think, even though it's not a great mix, I think that Phillip Lindsay and Mark Ingram is better than having David Johnson back there. But I still don't understand why in the hell you got rid of DeAndre Hopkins. All I can tell you is I think the general manager and anybody in the personnel office from Houston needs to start undergoing regular drug testing.
Oh, man. Serious, I want to hear your opinion on this. Okay, Buckhead, you want to go ahead? Go ahead.
No, you go ahead and go first, man. You're good.
No, go ahead, go. You already went. Go ahead. You cut in the line. You got in the front of the line, stole my fries. Go ahead.
Well, I'll say this. I'm not going to have too much of a debate. So Frankie is back. Buckethead is off duty right now. So I'm going to keep this one
there
short.
There you go. There you
don't.
Go. Take that doggone helmet off. I'm not playing.
Listen, we're not debating right now. We're having a conversation. With that being said, why don't you get back on mute there, brother. Now,
okay, I will.
Going forward. Here we So... Listen, there's a lot going on with this situation, and I'm not going to dive too much into it because you believe what you want about the lawsuit and stuff like that. Personally, I'm a brother of seven sisters. I'm not going to touch this too much, but I'll go with you guys on this one. I don't know how the hell you get rid of you're one of the best wide receivers in the game. I mean, Bill O'Brien, former head coach, I'm a Penn State grad. I wasn't even crazy about him when he was at Penn State, to be honest with you. The whole – that organization has done some things that I just don't even understand how you can do them. J.J. Watt, another example. I don't understand how you let go of your best players when you do have a phenomenal quarterback. I mean, now we're just going to talk about his athletic ability. Phenomenal quarterback. Watched him in college. He's a winner. He's a game changer, man. He can make it happen. There's a lot happening. There's a lot of questions that aren't answered. It's tough to really move in on him. I mean, you don't know if there's going to still be a suspension. That being said, I'll dish away from that. He is a talented quarterback, and he can play on any team in this league. And I don't know where he'll end up. I don't know what will happen. That being said, Tyrod Taylor probably shouldn't be in the league. So, go Birds.
Tyrod Taylor, poor guy. He's like the people's champ. He's like the – I'll adopt Tyrod Taylor like Mr. Controversy adopts Teddy Bridgewater. He's my people's champ. You know what I mean? But no, serious.
Respect.
I want to get your opinion on Deshaun Watson, man. Talk to me. Where do you think he'll end up? Are you surprised that he's still on the Texans right now?
Nope, I'm not surprised because everything that the Houston Texans have done over the past 2.5-3 years has been so wrong. They butchered everything from front office decisions to player personnel to contracts to this whole Deshaun Watson thing. Like, this dude right now is arguably one of the best quarterbacks in the game, and he's listed as third on the depth chart. You're trying to trade him. You want him to get moved out, but nobody's going to touch, a trade because, once again, you have no idea what legal stuff he's having to deal with. Just send him home. Tell him, pay him to go home. Like, he's around the organization. You let him work out with the team. You know, every time a coach, steps to a podium to address an upcoming opponent, Deshaun Watson's name is going to get brought up. You bring in a Mark Ingram, who unfortunately is way past his prime. Phillip Lindsay couldn't get right in Denver. You bring him in. Brandon Cooks, I think, is still concussed from that hit he took in the Super Bowl. You know, you let Will Fuller walk. I mean, I can run down the whole squad. It's a dumpster fire. It's a dumpster fire. So with that being said, man, like I don't know what to do with them. I don't know what to do with them. But it's comical to sit back and watch, man. It's comical to sit back and watch.
And this is the sad part, real quick, if you don't mind, Barry, real quick. The sad part about this, we have these conversations every year when you start looking. How many teams, you know, you're going down, going into this year, how many teams could be drafting a quarterback in a very thin class this year? A bunch of them. Almost everybody in the NFC South, minus maybe Tampa. You got teams looking for quarterbacks every year. If there's one thing that there's a shortage of, it's true difference makers, true franchise quarterbacks, guys that move the needle. And this is a guy, and shame on Houston, bro. You got this guy. You have a guy who has the talent to be one of the top five quarterbacks in this league very easily. And since you went and got an offensive lineman a few years ago to try to protect him, now you've done everything to tear that franchise down around him. And so you're wasting the best years of a legitimate franchise quarterback. There's very few. There's enough. Enough guys right now at the quarterback position in the NFL that are true, like, needle movers and guys that really make a huge difference and can propel a franchise forward like that and can put a team on his back like that. Usually you can count them on one hand. He's one of them, and they are wasting him. Shame on you, Houston. Shame on the Texans. You lost a football team several years ago, and now that you got a football team back, you sucked for a while. You finally got a franchise quarterback in place, and then you ruin it. I don't want to hear you crying about your terrible Texans.
I mean, well, I couldn't agree with you more. They lost this team a couple of years ago. I mean, when you trade one of the best receivers in the game for pennies on the dollar, and then, you know, you got Watt on the last game of the season crying, saying I'm sorry to Deshaun Watson for wasting your season, like, that's all you need to know. I mean, it's been a joke, like Sirius said, for the last couple of years in Houston. I'm not surprised that he's still on this team, because why would Houston do anything right? You know, outside of all, you know, the situation that's going on with his legal, you know, situation, which I don't want to comment on too much, because I don't know where to go with it. I don't know who to believe in. You know, let the courts decide and all that kind of stuff. But on the football field, this guy is one of the best quarterbacks in the game. I know there's a lot of teams that could use him. You know, I wanted him on the Jets, but they got a quarterback that I think is actually pretty darn good in Zach Wilson. I wouldn't be surprised if he wins offensive rookie of the year. But with that being said, there's going to be a lot of teams that should be knocking down his door, that would be knocking down his door, if not for the legal situation. So, but, you know, for Houston to just not even get this close to right is not surprising. It's not surprising. If I'm Tua, I'm like, you better not trade me to Houston. I didn't do anything wrong. I mean, maybe I didn't know the whole playbook, but I didn't do anything wrong. What did I do wrong? You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, guys, I mean, we all said it. It's like, I don't even know. You can't even beat this one to death, because it's like Houston. It's not even Houston. We have a problem. Houston is a problem. Like they would be out of the league if they didn't need an extra team to even the weekends. You know what I mean? Like, they go with odd number of teams that they had to just to get rid of Houston. They're embarrassing themselves. It's ridiculous. But you know, I don't know. I mean, anybody got anything to add or any other takes? I mean, I'm all ears, because I'm flabbergasted that Deshaun Watson is still in Houston as the third string quarterback. They even said it, third string quarterback. Come on, give me a break.
I got nothing. Frankie, we're Buckethead. There's nothing left on the topic.
Oh no Buckethead here. Oh my God.
They want to keep him changing the organization, honestly, man. There's no way.
Go ahead, TB.
I think they want to keep him changing the organization. There's no way they're going to try to let him go after giving him $160 million and him having that speech after he got the deal and crying on air saying thank you to that the third, and then you get rid of every option he has and wants him to be Superman with nothing. Like, you put kryptonite in front of Superman. Like, I don't get it. So That's a terrible organization for them to do that. They watched Bill O'Brien rip them to pieces. You got rid of one of the best, if not top three, receiver in the game, and that's his best option. They had a season where this dude had no drop, and you said, you know what, it's better without him. Like unheard of. So with that being
said,
but I
can get a six-round pick for him.
Wait, say that again. I'm sorry, I missed it.
But I can get a six-round pick for the best receiver in the league, right? That'll work.
Ridiculous.
Crazy.
I mean,
yeah,
if you're going to chain him, right, TP, why not play him? He's your best option to win, right? He's one of the best quarterbacks in the league. So what are you saying? I don't really care about winning. I just got a lame duck coach that came into this situation that thought he was going to have one of the best quarterbacks in the league as his guy, and then come to find out, well, no, actually, the situation is really kind of bad. He don't want to be the quarterback. You got Tyrod Taylor. But now you can't start him because we just said he's the third-string quarterback. So you don't really want to win. You don't want to win.
And look, the running back they got back for DeAndre Hopkins, it wasn't like it was his one career year that he had in Arizona. It was after a couple more injuries after. I don't know how you thought you were going to take him out of Arizona and then have him come be productive. You might have been lacking in the running game, but trading DeAndre Hopkins to try to address your running game needs is definitely not it.
It's unbelievable. I agree with all you guys. I mean, if you're going to keep the Sean, then you might as well let him play. I think we actually all agreed on something. The Houston Texans are a dumpster fire, and if you're going to keep the Sean, you might as well let him play. That being said, good luck, Houston.
It reminds me of Philadelphia.
Exactly. They traded.
He went hard.
He went hard. Yeah. I mean, Davis Mills is the answer. I mean, go ahead.
No, this is worse than a dumpster fire. I don't care what Yogi says. Houston, you cannot prevent forest fires by making moves like this.
Wow. But I mean, like, didn't they just cut a receiver? Didn't they cut Corte yesterday? Didn't they cut? I don't even know.
Kiki,
right? And then they traded Shaq Lawson. They traded Shaq Lawson to the Jets for, I think, you know, probably the ball boy. I mean, like, what are we doing? I mean, like, the best story coming out of Houston is the cornerback that was the kicker. I mean, that's the best story coming out of that. I can't believe that we actually spent almost 10 minutes talking about the Texans. And I'm glad we did, because when the season starts, that's when their season is over. We won't have to talk about it again.
I'm going to give you one more.
I'm just happy we all agreed on something.
I'm going to give you one more, because we found something we all agree on, and it might take us a while to come to a consensus, but I promise you, you can put us right now, the group of us that are on this show right now, put us in charge of the Houston Texans. I guarantee you we'll do a better job than that front office, and it won't be close.
I totally agree. I think me and TP would argue all the time, but I think we would get the job done. Right, TP? It's all love, brother.
I don't know about that.
Me and Sirius probably wouldn't get along.
Pineapple. You want to know something right now, Barry? I'm going to tell you something. Barry, wait. You want to know what I'm telling you right now, Barry? Yo, I really have to deal
What's
with
that?
The entire Keystone State right now. I have to deal with the east side of the Keystone State and the west side of the Keystone State. And both of these dudes have to meet up in Philadelphia, because you got one that actually loves and married an eagle. Then you have this dude, Fly Eagle Fly, going crazy right now. Like, they both are out of their heads. So I get what's going on right now. Listen, they both are holding hands in the Keystone State, screaming, "We are the world. We are the children." There's a choice that they're making.
Yeah, exactly.
They're saving their own lives. It's true, they make a brighter day for just them and them. You see what I'm saying? I got it.
Yeah, I dig it. I mean, listen, I hate the Eagles. I hate everything about them. Go eat your cream cheese. I hate the fucking Eagles, man. I'm sorry for the language, Mom. I tried. Mom knows. My mother knows. She listens to the show, but she knows. Like, the villain hates. I hate Philadelphia cream cheese, okay? I hate everything about Philadelphia. I hate the Eagles. I hate Philadelphia sushi rolls. I hate everything. I hate it. I like the Philly cheesesteaks, so I do like the cheesesteaks. But I'm on a diet. I don't even eat that shit no more. I mean, it's closing time. I got to get plugs. It was a great show. I love going hard with you guys. It's so much fun. Mr. Buckethead himself, Frankie, a friend of the show, thank you for coming in. I want to get a plug. Plug anything you got as we get out of here in the Carlos Cookout.
Oh, man, you guys, thank you so much. This was a blast in a glass. So, again, from Philadelphia, Frankie James, you can find my podcast at Talkin215. That is Talkin215, Talkin without the G, on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. We're 4for4. We cover all Philadelphia sports. We just had Jimmy Kemsky on Eagles Insider from Philly Voice. A lot of good interviews. And let's collab soon, boys. Thanks so much for having me on.
Yeah, I have to check you out, even though you probably talk about the Eagles a lot. I mean, you know, I'll do my due diligence in checking out. But no, I'm just kidding. I'm messing with that. I'm just messing
appreciate
with you.
Nah,
thank you for coming in, man. And, you know, listen to the show. I'm sure it's really good. I'm going to check it out tomorrow.
Yeah,
absolutely, absolutely. Mike, always a pleasure from the clubhouse, from the barbershop. Give us a plug as we get out of here.
Hey, Barry, man, just remember the line from the song, though, man. I want you to be very, very careful because hate in your heart will consume you too, bro. So be very, very careful before you go to that. Oh, man, much love to everybody on the show. Thank you guys for having me. It's always a pleasure to step in with you guys. I look forward to doing it more in the future. Clubhouse at Times and Grooves Barbershop. I'm happy to be part of that group. And we got a lot of cool things coming down. And everybody check out Sports Chefs. Got merchandise on both sides, man. All of it's cool. So check it out and represent. Thanks, guys.
I mean, the hate is in my heart, but I just have visions of DeSean Jackson running down the 1 yard line instead of going into the end zone or catching that
running backwards.
You know, like running back.
Oh,
I hate that dude. I hate the Eagles. Watching Michael Vick come back on us in the fourth quarter. I hate the Eagles, man. I hate them.
The best part about that play, it wasn't even the touchdown. It was the punter and Diase getting lit up. Both of them got
that crack block
of them live. Oh, my God.
Everybody. I mean, it's like I can watch OC sack the Eagles 6 times in one game, and it still won't make me feel better because I just have visions of that dude running backwards on the one line. The son of a – Sirius, get us out of here. I need prayer. I need to go pray right now.
Man, it's your boy Sirius from that 412 and the 703, man. Such a pleasure to be here with you guys on the Carlos Cookout. Definitely check us out, www.sportscitychefs.com for the merch, the blogs. Check us out, a couple of us out on Clubhouse Barbershop with the homie TP Groove. You know what I'm saying? We got some crazy stuff going on over there. Shout out to the homie Buckethead for coming through, man. Definitely check out his podcast, man. I say this every time I get on the air, man. If you like what you hear here at Sports City, man, definitely come on by and check us out on different platforms, man. We're diversifying our bonds, man. We getting out and kissing the people and blessing our talents with other people, man. That's what makes the world go around, man. It's kind of cool, man. Definitely, man. Lord willing, be back in here another time, man. Your boy's gone. Let's go Penn State.
We are. Okay. We are Penn State. Help Florida State. Just
don't get me started.
Just
on it.
I need Florida State to beat Notre Dame, but it ain't gonna happen, man. Florida State just can't get it right. Sports City Chefs, the interviews, the blog, the website, we're on all the time. You got the Baseball Buffet tomorrow. Check those boys out. Talking some baseball. My Yankees finally got off. How do you get in a 13-game win streak and it's still 7.5 games back? It boggles my mind. But listen, we got shows all week. TP will be back with the Sunday brunch on Sunday at 11 o'clock. Check us out. Still previewing the NFL. Next week is the draft show. Please get in and sign your team up. Mike, if you want a team, you could take over Sirius's team because he's scared of the villain. You don't want that smoke.
Here you go.
You want a fantasy
here you
team.
Go.
So,
here you go.
You're supposed to be gone. Here you go. But listen, get in there, get in, and have some fun with us. So, but TP, you know what to do. Close us out, brother.
These dudes from Penn State gonna respect the king. Don't be the next contestant on this Sports City screen.
Sorry, I didn't mean that. I didn't mean that. I literally hit the wrong. I didn't mean that, TV. I'm sorry, go ahead.
You see how they do me, man? I can't even get close up. This is what happens when the Keystone State teams up with Connecticut. This is the worst part about it. It's like New York and Connecticut, like the tri-state combined in one, and they're doing it to me right now. Like, these people so salty right now. Listen, yo, if they touch a frozen burger, they can just put it on the grill. It'd be seasoned how salty these dudes are. I'm telling you, this is what I'm going through, Sports City. They didn't want to hear me talk about Cam Newton. They didn't want to hear me talk about anything. Knicks, Eagles, Flyers, Penn State, Pittsburgh, anything. Mike, thank you for being here for me, Mike. Because without you, Mike, I go crazy in here dealing with these guys. Man, I had to deal with somebody with a bucket. I had to deal with a Mets fan. I have to deal with somebody screaming for the Washington football team in the middle of D.C. right now. This is what I'm putting up with Sports City. I do this for y'all. I love everybody out there in Sports City that do it with us, man. Y'all already know that I put in work for I'm making these connections as best as I possible to give y'all these smiles. Look, all of them smiling like it's first day picture day up here. All because of the kids. On that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the chef's again. And if they don't know, now they know.
I'm so – I didn't mean it, but it wasn't the wrap-up box. I love you, TP. I really do.
Disrespecting my game, no home training, no manners. I was doing this when you was in Pampers. I was moving them brands so you knew what a hand and hand was, decking the bands with radars and banners. Or you knew a hard wife or a tan was. Like the stop. This is – tell a friend to tell a friend. It's the chef's again. And if they don't know, now they know.
Kaboom, Sports City chefs is in the room, cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman vs. MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend it's the Sports City chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again. Sports City, chef, chef.
Connecticut.